It's recording.
$720. I'll give Phil $20.
Then I'm putting it down as yes.
Okay. He made it $720.
You good?
Looks good. I mean, as of two and a half weeks before, there was 35 people. So, and she was,
gonna be great.
She said she would be happy with 40, and there might be double that.
28.
All right, so I'll say, let's begin. So we left off on page Kuf Yud Aleph. So we'll say, if you remember again, the author here, the Mechaber, was speaking about how we achieve this state of aloneness with ourselves. How do we achieve this ability to ultimately just remain in the moment with ourselves? So you left off page Kuf Yud Aleph. He says the following, first paragraph: Adam tzarich lehistragel shehu lokeach la'atzmo shtei dakos liyom. A person has to become habituated that a person takes for himself two minutes a day by himself. Page Kuf Yud Aleph. Ava b'shtei dakos halalu hulo kori klum. As well, so remember, here is the chav. Yeah, we've already seen that he's on a little bit of an anti-cell phone campaign. He's not really, but he makes a lot of jokes with the cell phone. He says you have to be 2 minutes alone. What does it mean to be alone? Hulo kori klum. It means you're not reading anything. Lo medaber af im af echad. You're not speaking with anyone else. Rak im atzmo. Only with myself. B'shtei hadakot halalu, hu nosin b'haschola dror. It's a very beautiful verbiage. In those 2 minutes when he's alone, and he's not reading anything, he's not doing anything, he's not speaking to anyone, he's giving literally Dror's freedom. He's giving freedom to his thoughts. Now, here's what's interesting. Hamachshava miyad molicha oso la'an shehi molicha. So this is very interesting. If you really want to know where you're holding in life, so the first question is, where does your mind wander to when you are alone with yourself for 2 minutes? Because the mind ultimately will take you wherever you're really holding. Kol echad makiras achaim shlatzma. Everyone recognizes their own life. Choshiv al ishto, al yeladim, al avoda, kol echad lefi inyano. So again, normal people, we know our lives. I think about my wife, I think about my children, I think about work. Every person according to where he's holding. He says, hamachshava harishona shana felas lo b'mocho. So let's say when I sit down and I take 2 minutes to be alone with myself and I begin to think, the first thing I think about is work. Who omid umisbonin? A person has to stop and think. Ama ani choshir achshav. What am I thinking about now? Ala avoda. Now why? Why? Why is that the first thing that comes to my mind? Now, I'll say this could be for a variety of different reasons. But he says one possibility is because often people define themselves by what they do. Very strange. And again, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because by identifying with what you do, ultimately it causes a person to take incredible pride in their parnasa, not just as a means of generating an income, but hopefully of doing something important and significant as well. But at the other hand, there's a danger. Because I say to myself, if I immediately think about my work, if that's how I identify, ha'avoda ze'ani, remember also you spent extensive time speaking about this idea of the ani, the inner I. Does my work really define, is my work who I am? Love. No, it's not who I am. Im kein, eneni nimtza levad. Therefore, again, if I'm going ahead and the first thing I think about is work, that means I'm identifying as work. If I'm identifying as work, then ultimately that means I'm not really alone. I might physically be alone. There might not be anyone else around, but I'm not really alone with myself. Haguf shali nimtza ba'ad. I suppose it's such a profound statement. My body might be in the house. Ava machshavti nimtzeis herchak mikan. But my thoughts are far away. B'makom roish ma'od, in a very noisy place. So what he's saying is sometimes a person can be home, my body's home, but my mind is in the office. And all he's saying over here is, if we're going to be, just so you don't lose track of what we're trying to do, because he goes, there's a lot of information coming our way. We're trying to think, his whole thesis is that there are two parts to the individual. There is social man and there's solitude man. Social man we understand very well. Solitude man we often neglect. And there is this need to be able to cultivate a sense of aloneness. Not a sense of isolation, but a sense of aloneness. Why do I need a sense of aloneness? See, he's suggesting that if a person cultivates a strong, a healthy sense of solitude, that when a person has negative social interactions, a person is able to withdraw a little bit in a healthy way, go to their, so to speak, private place, go to their place of solitude, and ultimately calm down, as opposed to constantly getting drawn in to the negative cycle of personal interaction. But in order to be able to cultivate the identity of solitude, man, I have to figure out how to be alone with myself. And the point is that he's saying is, how do you tell if you're successful, that if you've successfully established a sense of solitude, when you think you're not in the office, and when you think you're not anywhere else, but you're present in the moment? He says, Horatius called, page kufir out, middle of the page, Horatius called, mezaha hechan hamachshava shalom nimtzeis. A person first has to identify, where are my thoughts holding? Va'im hi shaketa or ro'eshes, is my thought, is my mindset quiet or turbulent? Ha'im him nintzeis im ha'ani shalom, o shin nintzeis b'makom rochod ma'od miha'ani. Am I presently with my inner eye, or am I somehow far away? Nisponin v'navchin. Let's analyze this. Einenu medabrin adayin achshavas chiyuvios. Remember, what's interesting is that we're not having a discussion about spirituality or religion or piety. That has not come into the equation so far. What we are speaking about, Ella, on the sayon lashkit es hamachshava bahadraga biityos. But remember, all we're trying to do is figure out how one could achieve some sense of quiet in life, of personal quietude and solitude. Hadarga vaityos kimoshi iskarnu boim boofen shalachna vahavdala. So remember this, and all this we understand is what? This is established in stages, and it's established in small steps. And remember, he goes back also to what he said a couple of chapters ago about Hachna'a and Havdalah. If you remember, again, these were two of the three steps of the Baal Shem Tov. So the Hachna'a was this idea of separating from this world. And Havdalah is an actual act of physical separation. Hachna'a is a mental separation. Havdalah is a physical separation. He was quoting the Baal Shem Tov in a different type of context, but now he wants to show that over here as well. Havdalah, he koach hadas shemavdil umagdir kol dover hechan makomo. Havdalah is the ability to intellectually distinguish between each individual and know the right, between each thing, each individual thing, and know the right place for each thing. Ka'asher ha'adam izah es machshava mahi, b'mahi yosekes, heichan hi kishure elav, kami hi krov elav, kami hi rechoka, o az hu mizah es atzmo, ha'im hu nimtza achshav levad o lo, hu nimtza b'cheder na'ul, im rav bariach, he says over here that when a person sits down to think, the first thing a person realizes is, where are my thoughts holding? What am I thinking about? What am I drawn to? And that's how a person understands, am I really alone or not? He says you could sit in a room with a thick door and a bariach, what do they call it when he used to put the piece of wood across the door? Like the locket.
No,
piece of wood across the door. Right? Good. So, right. So he says,
A latch.
Okay, so the point he's saying, a person could be in a locked room, and yet you're not alone. A person could be in a locked room, and yet, again, you know, his example before was, all of New York, right, is going on in my head. A person first has to identify all of his thoughts. So we'll say, again, He's kind of restating the same thing a couple of different times, but the idea is the first step in establishing an identity or an ability to achieve some level of solitude is the ability to sit down and identify, when I try to block out the world, where do my thoughts gravitate to? Do they gravitate to my family? Do they gravitate to my work? So first of all, that's an important thing because it tells you a lot about where you're holding in life. What you think about kind of on the fly, what you think about on the default is very telling to ultimately where you're holding. But to take it a step further, what it also tells me is I have not yet reached the level of solitude. Let's do one more paragraph, then we'll stop. When a person identifies that his thought process is very far meaning very far from solitude, bless you. Lachin hidgashnu b'tchila sha'avodazu nazis bizmanim riguim ולא בזמני לחץ, שלחינו חושק בדבר, אלא סתם מחשבו סב משוטטוס כדאקו בכל עיסוקה ועניינות, או באופן קל יחסית ביחלוסו להשיח הסדס מהמחשבה, ולא אומר לעצמו, אין צורך לחשוב בזה, זה לא עוזר. החלטתי ששתי דקות אלו יהיו אך ורק לעצמי. We'll say it's just an important caveat, well, this will end. He says, remember, this whole exercise in solitude, which sounds strange, but try it and you'll see it's exceptionally beneficial. This whole exercise in solitude only works in non-stressful situations in life. If a person is very stressed and the person has a lot going on, they say, okay, I'm going to have 2 minutes and I'm not going to think about anything. It's an exercise in futility because it's not going to happen. Because when a person is stressed, obviously their mind is drawn to many different things. So obviously this ability to go ahead and cultivate a sense of solitude only works if you can find, if you're lucky enough to find, some non-stressful or less stressful moments in life. Because then if you pledge to yourself, I'm setting aside 2 minutes, and this is an intellectual, emotional exercise, I'm going to sit and I'm not going to think about anything for 2 minutes. Remember, to us, this sounds almost a little bit un-Jewish because we always pride ourselves in maximizing each and every moment, utilizing every moment. But the truth is, this is maximizing it as well. Sometimes you just have to maximize it ultimately for solitude. But it only works if a person has circumstances that are fitting. If a person is stressed, don't try this exercise. But when the opportunity presents itself, this idea of ultimately taking a step back, seeing, first of all, where my thoughts go, that tells me a lot about my life orientation, and then actively trying to work to quiet my mind and to clear my mind from all thoughts, that lays the groundwork, Yemir Tashem, for the cultivation of this eye of solitude. All right, we'll stop over here. We have a little bit more to this chapter. Yemir Tashem will finish it next week. So
one of the recommendations now, even under stress, is the idea of what we call meditation or concentrating on your breathing. And if there are other thoughts that come through and keep going through, you let them go through and you actually try to